Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the CHGO White Sox podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top rated sportsbook. Download the app today and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Welcome into a remote version of the CHGO White Sox podcast. I'm Sean Anderson coming to you live from my home, and that's Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him on Twitter at @ectonroll23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. He's coming to you from the burbs.
Indeed. The Tri-Cities, as they call it out here. St. Charles, Geneva, and Batavia. Beautiful land out here.
What's your favorite of the three?
St. Charles, of course, because it's St. Charles. I've been out here. Colonial's right here. It's an ice cream place that's awesome down the street. This downtown St. Charles area, also great. And no other celebrity lives in the other two cities. Well, they have two celebrities who are married to each other, Jenna McCarthy and the great Mark Wahlberg. No, sorry, Donnie Wahlberg, his brother.
I had no idea.
Yeah, they have a house out here, apparently.
Oh, okay. I had no idea that Jenny McCarthy was even married to a Wahlberg.
And apparently, Jared Payton lives around the area, and the flagship, he has a part owner out here in St. Charles. But it's all a beautiful area out here. It's much better than the area I grew up in. Even though Wheaton is thought of as a higher class place, St. Charles is much more beautiful, and it's a better place to be.
Yeah, those Tri-Cities, I don't even think I've been up there. What's the worst of the three? Batavia? Sounds the worst.
I mean, I guess if you're saying the worst, yeah, Batavia is the worst, because apparently the highfalutin people are in Geneva. St. Charles is just the regular place, and then Batavia is the slums, and it's not even slums, I guess. I guess the people of Geneva turn their nose at the poors in Batavia with over $500,000 homes.
Ugh, hey man,
get out of here.
Geneva, love their convention, friends.
Yes.
I got some chats already coming in. Al talking about the headline. We are going to be talking about the White Sox possibly being a below 80 win team in 2023. We have some Fangraphs Zips projections for you to run over. Al saying, I think the Sox can run the same team out there, and if healthy and max effort, win 90 games or more. It's a lot of ands, ifs, or buts, but we'll talk about all of those a little bit later. Connor also in the chat, his Canada team gave a valiant effort against Belgium, but they couldn't get the win there. And also AJ joining us from Australia.
Isn't Belgium like one of the best teams in soccer now? Soccer expert, yeah. Sean Anderson.
They have their golden generation. That's the what they're calling this team. So yeah, Belgium, pretty good. Right next to Germany, I think.
Who knew?
Who knew? I didn't. I learned that today. I knew it was in the area, but I didn't know it was right next to Germany. But, you know, today you learn. Let's talk.
Waffles.
Or so they say. Let's talk about some Jose Abreu. We were supposed to get to this yesterday, but we kind of got sucked up in the whole Mark Burley talk. And again, if you are seeing any pro-Mark Burley Hall of Fame stuff, use that hashtag bust for the number Burley, and that way we can, you know, get some traction. Let's keep Mark at 5%. Let's keep him on the ballot for 10 years. A win's a win thing, people. We also got 17 people watching, so make sure you like the video. But let's jump in to Jose Abreu. We were going to talk about some teams that are interested in Jose, and one of those teams that leaked out was possibly the Nationals. And I said, oh dear God, imagine if the Nationals, just like they signed Nelson Cruz to a 1-year deal, I actually think that was a 2-year deal, but they signed the legend Nelson Cruz last year to fill out that roster. What if they spend all that money they're not spending on actual players on Jose Abreu, and he wastes his time in Washington because they gave him the most money? So we'll talk about that. I mean, is that the worst case scenario? He goes to a non-contending team?
Yes, that's the worst case scenario. Then that tells them that he just wanted to play baseball no matter what, and the White Sox pretty much rejected him and didn't want him to play on their team, you know, for other reasons than his performance. And if he just goes to the Nationals, I don't see that happening because, as he says, he wants to compete. He wants to win championships, and the Nationals don't represent that. You know, he could say, hey, the Nationals give me this money. If it's a 2-3-year deal, they're not competing. Somebody comes, checks for me at the end of July and trades me to a contender there. That could be a plan, and I'm sure that was Nelson Cruz's plan because you don't want to languish your last playing days in a crappy situation out there in Washington with both – them losing, looking for new ownership, and just instability all throughout. You probably don't want to be a National right now unless you're just, they're just giving away money to get, you know, to some type of threshold. Otherwise, there's no reason for the Washington Nationals to be signing Jose Abreu and no reason for Jose Abreu to be signing with the Washington Nationals.
Right. And I think I'd be really disgusted if it happened. I mean, I was surprised with Nelson Cruz, too, because I kind of wanted him as a DH. If they couldn't get Kyle Schwarber, you know, why not take Nelson Cruz? Nelson Cruz, a free agent. You know, Black Friday's coming up, Herb. Maybe they could get some deals on the 42-year-old. But I look at Jose Abreu and all the spots that he's been reported to possibly go. We can say Boston is interested. We can say that Houston is interested. We could say Miami is interested. We could say the Cubs are interested. And we could say San Diego are interested. Those are at least reported and reported by the Fangraphs free agent matrix C. So shout out to John Becker who put that together. But the only teams that they're going to scratch off Jose Abreu for are the Yankees after they re-signed Mr. Anthony Rizzo. And the other team they're going to scratch off, I think, is the Phillies after they, I think, locked down Rhys Hoskins. They have Kyle Schwarber and they have Bryce Harper, so they don't need another big bat. And they have Castellanos. So really only crossing off the Yankees and Phillies. You see any dark horses possibly popping up here? I mean, is the Nationals the dark horse then?
I mean, I guess that would be a dark horse, but I would see like another team that is close to the division or in the division that Jose Abreu goes to. I mean, I know Josh Naylor is a pretty solid first baseman, but there's no rule that they can't get another solid guy in Jose Abreu. And I would get them for the Guardians' sake just so he can stop hitting against Shane Bieber. Because if anybody eats versus Shane Bieber, it's Jose Abreu.
Yes. And I mean, well, any right-hander, I mean, we're going to talk about Chance and Junk a little bit later. And the Cubs are talking about how he only made 4 career starts. And I remember Chance and Junk being one of those generic right-handers who just came up against the White Sox and just dominated. So, I mean, Jose Abreu is the one consistent guy who you can get a right-handed a bat from.
Exactly. And I would be one of these teams out there, and I'm looking on the Twittersphere. Everybody's excited about Jose Abreu, even though the dip in power, that is the only thing people can hold against Jose Abreu. The numbers still played in 2022 when everything else was zapped out of the White Sox. And I'm looking at Padres fans being excited. I'm looking at Cub fans being excited about the prospects of getting Jose Abreu. Same thing with the Astros fans. Our guy KPW is thinking about maybe the Red Sox be a dark horse, but they're really not competing. I mean, they're going to be losing Xander Bogaerts. Rumors are they're putting people into the trade market, seeing that the American League East is tough. They're probably just going to like lose their starting pitcher. Nathan Eovaldi is going to be gone. So looks like a rebuilding, retooling year for the Boston Red Sox, another one. So that would be really tough for me to sell, like Jose Abreu going to the Boston Red Sox, because I firstly don't like the team, and then secondly, they don't seem like competing, and they're not Jose Abreu away from solidifying a playoff roster or anything like that. I think Baltimore right now would be a more palatable place for Jose Abreu to go to. At least you could see the meter going up on that team.
Yeah, I mean, I would be fine with Baltimore. That'd be pretty fun. But Boston, I think he'd probably hit like 55 doubles, which would also be a blast. But I wonder, because they're paying Hosmer and Tristan Casasas or whatever his name is. He's a top prospect and he plays first as well. So they might not want to like overload that position too much. Chirac Bobby saying any chance Jose just retires. I'd be shocked by that. We got a little bit of that in spring training, but I don't really see that being the course that will take happen. I think he's hitting the market and I think he's searching for a deal. So I don't know. I think Dan's asking the question that makes me wonder the most, you know, will it take the most money or the best chance to win? If it's the best chance to win, call up Houston. If you really want a ring, that team's always in it. Don't go to San Diego. Don't go to the Cubs, who might offer you the most money. Don't go to Boston. Go to Houston. If you want to win a ring, go to the place that's going to have Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman and Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker and, you know, et cetera, all those
McCullers,
you know, Garcia, Urquidy,
Valdez.
I mean, they don't even need Verlander. So
yeah, Barry's the richest. Yeah, ridiculous. Just a ridiculous team. And somebody was talking to me about, well, the Houston Astros are ninth in payroll and the White Sox were seventh. You saying the White Sox didn't spend their money right? It's like, yeah. It's like Houston spends their money well on the major league staff and on the minor league staff and on player development and on research and development, everything. That's why the Houston Astros are where they're at. Yeah, cheating in 2017, but this championship I think is kind of undeniable. Like, for all the stuff that we want to hold against them in 2017, I'm thinking 2022 is just they're superior, far superior. We said that at the beginning of the year, and they ended that with players being injured and even the players they acquired not being really good. Like Trey Mancini was not really good in his Houston Astros days, except for with the glove at the end of that World Series game. So, yeah, they're just a machine where they can just lose Carlos Correa and, like, no skin off our back. And like you just said, oh, Justin Verlander is a free agent? All right, man, Justin, sucks to lose you, but
AL Cy Young winner.
I'm sure we have somebody else in the minors, or we're going to get somebody and he's going to be great.
It's so that kid. We're good. It's that kid, Hunter Brown, who literally has mimicked Justin Verlander's mechanics. They just created Justin Verlander. They just drafted a kid and said, hey, why don't you be Justin Verlander? He said, all right, bet. I do want to go to the chat real quick. Miguel Aguilar had a very sweet comment that I wanted to mention. Thanks for keeping me company at work every day. Grandal will be back on fire. We appreciate you listening to us at work, and hopefully Grandal will be back. And our guy, Stefan Bardo, always bringing the heat with another super chat. We appreciate the $5 super chat, Stefan Bardo. Thank God Sox are in the AL Central. I think with Pedro and the coaching staff, they will have the energy. I'm very excited about 2023 season, a fresh start, and happy Turkey Day. He follows up as well. Happy Turkey Day to everybody who will be celebrating, and you know, hopefully it's a good one to you and yours. And we'll talk a little bit about the AL Central and how weak they are a little bit later. But I don't know, like, part of the reason why Zips is projecting the White Sox to be at 76 wins, and we'll get to that, you know, a little bit later, I think it's Jose Abreu not being on the team, obviously. But the whole point is that if Jose Abreu puts up 4 WAR for the White Sox, the idea is in 2023 that Eloy Jimenez will put up, hopefully, you know, 4 WAR of his own, just hitting a DH, and then Andrew Vaughn hopefully could put up around a 3.5 WAR, and then that way you have those two guys giving you about 7 WAR. But you know, we know that Jose Abreu really signed himself last time he was a free agent, and he signed for about market price. The qualifying offer then was about $18 million and then signed for 3 years, about $18 million per. So do you expect him to go to a team that's going to give him the best chance to win or make the most money?
I think he's probably thinks that he's made enough money in his life to be more than satiated and more than well compensated. So now he's not going to take a discount, but I think he'll be taking the team that is, or he thinks he fits in the best. The double-edged sword with Houston for me is, yes, they're good, but if Jose were to fall off or have a slow start, as he usually does in April, May, Houston is on a championship trajectory like all the time. And so I can see them saying, hey, yeah, it's been real, Jose. Grab some bench 3 out of these 7 games or something like that. We got this hotshot young prospect that wants to play first base. He'll just do it, whatever. You go to a team that needs you and doesn't really have anything behind you, and you signed you for a decent amount of years, so you have some security that you're going to be on that team. then you know, have some stability, and that team and that player knows, hey, even though I'm going to struggle in April, May, because that's what I do every year, this team's going to stick with me. They're going to battle through with me. So I see him going to the team, not with the best chance to win, but with a great chance to win and not the highest price that's out there. So yeah, I'm thinking the Nationals would have to put out the best deal for him to even think about that, firstly. And then, you know, the Cubs, you know, another team that is not in the hunt for a championship next year, even though they're going to be improved, would have to put up real money. And the only reason, or one of the main reasons he would sign with the Cubs, is not having changed much of his life. Same city, a familiar place in Wrigley to play ball, and he can still do his thing there. People will still love him. I think ultimately he's just going to be signing for probably a team that is in the hunt. And I could see the Houston Astros saying, yeah, Jose, you're my guy. But also I could see the scenario I just laid out, that Houston, after a while, is like, we can't have you. And then waits until August Abreu shows up.
Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't signed yet, honestly, because Rizzo was the big domino. And I think the Yankees wanted to get Rizzo off their plate so they could focus on Judge. But who else is going to be signing at the first base position? I guess Josh Bell, but he's younger. He's a switch hitter. He's not really the same player as Jose Abreu. I think Abreu's market's completely different than Josh Bell. So I do really wonder what Jose's waiting for. Is he waiting for the White Sox to possibly wait and extend an offer? And is he going to wait for them? I'm not really sure. Because Rizzo's been signed for about 2 weeks.
He's waiting for Brandon Belt to set the market.
Belt's not a free agent.
I thought he was.
Is he? Is he?
I thought he was assumed to be a White Sox target. And I can see
he is.
I could see that type of garbage being on the White Sox. Not the player, just Brandon Belt, last legs of his career, coming here hitting singles and, you know,
it's going to be the
OPS in like 690.
It's going to be the Jock Peterson thing where they offered him and Jock Peterson said, no, not enough money. So then they went out and got Adam Eaton. So maybe they'll go to Jose Abreu and be like, oh, $15 million. And he'll be like, no, I want to make $18 million. And they'll say, okay, Brandon Belt, $7.5 million. Let's go.
You're left-handed too, Brandon Belt. Yay.
Right. Hey, if you had a pick right now where he'd end up, what team do you think he signs with?
Houston. Yeah. It just makes too much sense. They've already had a legendary Cuban first baseman there for years, won championship with him, and Gurriel. You just replace him with a younger version of Gurriel and a guy who's won MVP recently that's still kind of good.
Yeah, and I think that he probably will sign for a year. I don't know if he really wants that long-term deal. I think someone asking, I think it was Chirac Bobby asking, you know, will he sign long-term or will he retire? I think he could retire if he wins a World Series. And looking at the Astros, and I think you brought up, you know, someone saying, you know, the Astros had a lower payroll than the White Sox in 2022. It's because Alex Bregman was making like $12 million. Now he's making 30. So he sees about an $18 million price jump in his contract. Lance McCullers still making $15 million. But the real big thing is Yordan Alvarez only making $7.8 million. Kyle Tucker still in his arbitration year. So this could be something where they go out and they try to get Rodon and Jose. Maybe Justin Verlander's too much money to bring back, but as Russ did say, they go get the Texas kid, or I think he lives in Texas, right?
Who, Rodon?
Yeah, he gives Texas energy. He went to North Carolina State.
He's from Miami area, went to North Carolina State. I think he lives still in the North Carolina area, if I'm reading that correctly.
Or maybe Ashley's from Texas? I don't know. But, maybe. Yeah, I'm not sure. But he gives Texas vibes. So, hey, maybe they sign Jose Abreu and Carlos Rodon, and my heart will ache. But I think I'm with you that Houston ends up signing Jose, and if any other team is going to win a World Series, I hope it's the one that has Jose Abreu on it, and I don't really care if they cheated in 2017 or not. It's mostly for Jose.
White Sox fans or yourself would root for Jose. You just said maybe you would root for Jose Abreu and the Astros if he was on the Astros.
I would. If it was like this year and the White Sox were not in the playoffs, I would root for the Astros if they had Jose Abreu. 100%. Absolutely. It'd just be, I mean, like Trey Mancini. We weren't really rooting for Trey Mancini this year, or rooting against Trey Mancini. Really weren't rooting against Dusty Baker. My life didn't change when the Astros won the World Series this year. So if they win it with Jose Abreu, yeah, who cares? That'd be awesome. Jose Abreu wins a World Series. I wish it was with the White Sox, and it's their fault for screwing that up.
It is. Yeah, I would find it very hard to root for the Astros as a whole. I would definitely be checking in for Jose Abreu at bats, making sure that I cheer when he does something well. But otherwise, I'm not sitting there looking at Alex Bregman like, let's go, Alex, get a double. That tool.
But now he's got, you know, the Crawford boxes if he signs to Houston. So all he's got to do is hit those little pop flies and, you know, it's just a little trot to home with Bregman on second. So, and plus, like, what, are you going to pitch around Jose Abreu and then bring up Yordan Alvarez? Like, come on. That's disgusting. So, yeah, I think
Tucker, embarrassment of riches.
Right.
I'm sure they have somebody that's replacing somebody that's just getting blocked down there in Astros minor league system.
I mean, they're pretty set at every position. Bregman at third, Pena at short, Altuve at second. Catcher's a little bit iffy, but they'll probably just re-sign Maldonado or Vasquez. And then what, left field / DH is Alvarez, Tucker's in right field. So really, like, center's their weak spot. Center and first are their weak spot. So, and then they got to get another starter. But, I mean, that team's, you know, they lost about $25 million in Verlander salary. So I think they could still afford something there. Jeremy Bradford saying Sox need to go over the $200 million payroll if they want to win the AL Central. They won't. And Fred saying if Jose signs in Houston, he gets put on the disavowed list. So some teams or some Sox fans would say no more to Jose if he signed in Houston. Thanksgiving is coming up. It's tomorrow. Three big NFL games. So DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is my go-to when betting on the NFL this holiday season. Very excited for that Bills-Lions game. I like the Bills -9. I like the under of 54. I like the Bills to score a touchdown. I like the Giants to cover their 10 points as well. I do like the, I think, under in that game. Yeah, under 45.5 in that game. And I also like Micah Parkins, 2 sacks and 4 sacks. I'm giving you a ton of bets here right now, and that's why you, a new customer, can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if you do. So if you want to bet on the Bills, that easy win, that early Thanksgiving morning, they get that win, and then they get $150 in free bets to bet on the Giants-Cowboys game, the Vikings-Patriots game. It is going to be a very fun holiday if you do so. And also, everyone can earn up to 100% boost with the DraftKings Stepped Up Same Game Parlays. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, place a same game parlay, and combine multiple bets with, like, which team you like to win, player props, point totals, and more. The more legs you add, the bigger the boost, and the bigger your shot to win big. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use code CHGO, and place a $5 bet on any NFL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code CHGO, and minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. And with the holiday season coming up, you might be looking for a gift for the golfer in your life. Pins and Aces is the official golf apparel partner of CHGO. We love our Pins and Aces gear, and our guy Steven, our producer, gets tons of compliments on and off the course when he's hitting the links. Too cold to do that right now, but it's the perfect time to buy golf gear.
Not today.
The next season. Great. I haven't gone.
Get out. Get out today. Oh man, it's like 55 out here in the Tri-Cities.
Yeah, go golfing. Beautiful. It's dark out.
Go ahead. They have lights on somewhere. Yeah, put some Pins and Aces on.
Go to Top Golf. They'll allow Pins and Aces at Top Golf. Mm-hmm. But they're a family-owned golf and apparel business. They make amazing polos, hats, golf bags, and even our favorite beer sleeve. Bring that to Top Golf. Why not? Sneak in 7 beers right there inside your golf bag and keep drinks cold the entire round of Top Golf. You can drink at Top Golf and not even let them know. So check out pinsandaces.com and use code CHGO to receive 15% off your first order and get free shipping. That's pinsandaces.com, code CHGO to receive 15% off your first order and get free shipping. Paying them bills. Very nice. All right, let's move on to our next topic. And that is going to be, I'm blanking on it, Herb, why it's not the Fangraphs thing. Oh, and by the way, I do want to bring that up. The Mike Petriello thing, where he's like, there's probably 20 teams who would want to take a flyer on Bellinger, which is why he'll get a bigger 23 salary than you think. Like, if you're the Tigers, A's, Marlins, Rockies, dear God, Rockies, even center field needy contenders like Blue Jays or maybe Phillies, you're thinking it. And then the Rockies today among teams interested in Cody Bellinger. So what did I say? I said Cody Bellinger. The Rockies are probably like, yeah, let's take him from the in rival division and let's let him hit 40 home runs in Coors.
Yeah, I mean, for him, it would be great because of the light air and all that stuff, but also it's a cavernous center field out there, and be tough to rebuild your value out there in Colorado, because literally if we were looking for a Colorado player that was currently on the free agent market, what would we be saying? All those numbers are inflated. Oh, look at that. Look at the home road splits. He's only doing that because of the light air in Colorado. And so you don't want the question marks with you. You want, hey, I'm hitting because I'm good now. I'm rehabilitated. So, yeah, Colorado sounds good to a player who's wants to hit a bunch of home runs. But also, if you're trying to get paid after this year, which he'll be 28 after the 2023 season, I believe, still in his prime, you got to go to another team that's got some shine to it and also would be conducive to you getting a big-time contract with either them or another team in the free agent market. I mean, you could see players doing that all the time and trying to reestablish their trade value or their market value by just going on a one-year deal to a team where they can show their wares. And I don't know if Colorado would be the team I would go to if I was a free agent. But, yeah, they can drive up the market and his money, and you can act like, okay, man, yeah, Colorado, that sounds great. And then go back to whoever, whatever team and say, you know, Colorado's offering me $23 million. What you got? Rocky. And if they come a little closer, like 22, I'm like, all right, then I'm going there instead of you, Colorado. Sorry, can't go there with you and Chris Bryant being hurt all the time.
Rockies gave Chris Bryant what, about $187 million?
Way too much money. So yes,
right. But if they're going to give me, if they're going to give you like 7 years for, you know, as Elrad says, you know, $25 million, I don't think Cody Bellinger is going to get that. But if he gets a player opt out every year, you know, he'll take a deal like that. But you know, I don't know if you can get security in a place like Colorado, why not go hit 40 home runs each and every year? That'd be fun.
I mean, we were just talking about yesterday with the Hall of Fame ballots. People are arguing Todd Helton's Hall of Fame candidacy.
Oh, they're stupid. Because
of Coors Field. They're literally like, that's one of the reasons why he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And that's he played all his games in Coors Field, all his home games there. And it's like,
hey, Herb, do you know what something was easy to tell when watching Nolan Arenado in Coors Field? That he was good at baseball.
Yeah.
Do you know what it was easy to tell about Matt Holliday when he was in Coors Field? That he was good at baseball, but bad at touching home plate. I knew you were going to go there. Do you know what was very apparent about Larry Walker in Colorado? That he was good at baseball. You know, like, I don't know. There's not a lot of actual examples of guys being that much worse. Like, who are the guys that are being boosted up to cores and hitting 20 home runs? Carlos Gonzalez with that swing would have hit 40 home runs at any ballpark.
I mean, DJ LeMahieu was pretty good at cores, and then he left cores. I mean, actually, he wasn't that good in cores.
He was
better, much better as a Yankee because of the short porch, too. But I was trying to think of a guy that didn't get his just due or left cores and was like, ugh, not good. I could do the opposite with CJ Cron was kind of coming on in Minnesota. Then he went to Detroit, got hurt, and then last year was hitting bombs. So maybe CJ Cron is getting the benefit of the doubt of Coors Field and making him look like a more powerful hitter than he is. And his free agency market, when he does hit free agency, people will be like, you're CJ Cron from Detroit, Minnesota. You're not CJ Cron from Colorado.
Yeah, but his numbers aren't like super inflated. 129 OPS and 107 OPS. His highest OPS season was 123 in Tampa Bay. Highest home run season was 30. He just hit 29 and 28 in Colorado. But I mean, even then in 2019, he was 25. So I think a lot of the Cron thing is just being healthy. And, you know, Russ is saying Dante Bichette and Andres Galarraga, but Bichette, I don't know if that was Coors. I think that might have been a little something else. Go look at Dante Bichette's body. That was a little bit unique, I'll say that. And Andres Galarraga, I still remember the moonshots he hit in Miami. It's like, I mean, that guy hit the 475-foot home run in Pro Player Park. Like, that guy had power no matter where he was.
When he was at Expo too, right?
I think so.
And he was hitting bombs. Yeah, I mean, I just say I would use Colorado, and I don't know why Chris Bryant did this, as a team that I can have some leverage on other teams for. And just say, Colorado's offering me the Chris Bryant deal. Can you come close? You can? Cool. We're going to you. Type of thing.
Right.
Because, yes, he's in division. He's comfortable. He knows the teams. He understands the pitchers. I understand the Rockies wanting him. And I understand every team in major leagues wanting Cody Bellinger, former MVP, young player in his prime, that you think you get him in your building, you'll fix, type of thing. But for Cody Bellinger, he has all those teams out there wanting him. And the last thing I want is to be a Rocky right now, or a National, or any of those bottom-dwelling teams. I want to be on a team that's on the come-up, and that's going to pay me good market value. And just like Jose Abreu, I don't need to go to the team that's offering me the most money. I got a couple dollars. I'm looking for the real check after this year, where I'm going to break the bank.
Absolutely. My bad, Rusted. I did read his Andres Galarraga and Bichette take, but I did not read his super chat, which I appreciate. So thank you very much, Rusted, for the super chat. Bam, 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 bam. I'll miss Pito like he was family. Have a great holiday, guys. Sox fans, you and Jose all deserve better than this organization. Hey, in there, and also our guy Baloney saying, just getting out of work. Happy Thanksgiving, fellas. I'm thankful for Dylan Cease, second half Aloy, and that's about it. We could throw Jose Abreu in there like Rusted is saying. So appreciate Rusted. Appreciate you, Baloney. Al Rad as well. Al was in here 12 minutes before we were. Al beat us into this YouTube chat before we did. Our guy Hoosier Daddy, who's a diehard as well. KPW, who's always supporting us. Fred as well. We appreciate all of you guys on this Thanksgiving. We're thankful for you. And I guess Chris Bryant's thankful for Dick Monfort.
Always. I mean, goodness gracious.
Always thankful for Dick. Kansas men's basketball. Thankful for Dick. Grady Dick had a great game today.
I did see that. I'm not thankful for him because I hate Kansas. But we are always grateful for Dick, though. Yes, I think Chris Bryant in that situation, like, he didn't see a market really where Colorado was overpaying, and God bless Chris Bryant. Take the deal that people are offering you instead of another deal for a team that's got a little bit more visibility. But I don't think you'll see that again, because that move wasn't congruent with what they did the year before, where they signed Nolan Arenado to the long-term deal. And then the year later, they trade him away for pennies on the dollar,
right?
Even though he was still a champion as player, as you saw him finish third in the NL MVP voting this year. And they just let Trevor Story go. It's like, all right, peace and real, deuces.
Not going to trade
him. That offseason, they're like, let's go and get a big superstar and pay him a bunch of money. And I don't know if Chris Bryant's a superstar. He used to be. He was a former MVP also. And they just gave him a bunch of money. And I don't think anybody was in the neighborhood of where they were going to be paying Chris Bryant. And so Chris is like, fuck that. I'm taking that deal. That's right. The deal kind of I wanted back in the day.
And I'm so closer to 7 home.
7 years. Yeah. What is it? 23 or 25 million a year?
182 for seven. So whatever that math is.
Yeah. It's just a ridiculous amount of money. And if they do that for Cody Bellinger and Cody Bellinger takes that deal, I wouldn't blame him, because it's a lot of money. It's a lot of security, but also you're going to be in anonymity for a while, kid.
127 OPS, though, for Chris Bryant. Five home runs, but pretty nice slash line. 306, 376, 475. Not bad for KB.
What, he played like 40 games?
Yeah, not a lot. That's kind of the sad thing. And the CHGO Chris cast is popping off. The Chris Bryant, this has become DNVR Rockies.
Hey, boy, trade him to the White Sox in a second. Hey, if the White Sox got Chris Bryant, would you want him?
Oh, absolutely. I was trying to manifest that. All right, we have the Bears one. We have the Cubs one. We have the Bulls one. Or we do have the Rockies one in here. Blackhawks, Sky.
Yeah.
Oh, there's me. Betts. After Dark. No, Red
Sox. No, we don't have the.
Oh, we don't have the Rockies. Here. Oh, okay. No. All right. I guess this is just the White Sox show. Let's
we're get back to CHG. You would want Chris Bryant on the White Sox, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, I was trying to manifest it the last trade deadline. When they got Nick Madrigal from the Cubs, they traded with the Cubs. They just got Nick Madrigal and the reliever Tempura. So I was pretty bummed that they didn't go out and get Bryant for the end of 2021, just because he could play left field. He could play third base. He could play first base. I was trying to scout him for second base too. I would have loved Chris Bryant on the White Sox without a doubt. But I don't know. The injuries would concern me. So I wouldn't want him for 182. I'll tell you that much. I wouldn't want him for that much money, but
one of those 26 million years are gone already, Sean. They just paid him 26 million for 40 plus games, whatever he did.
Only Chris, six like, more years left.
Oh, that was awesome. He had twins, though. Congratulations to Chris. And during the season, him and his wife had another kid. So it was good to, he had a closer trip back to Las Vegas from Colorado. So I guess that was important to him too.
And six more years. What? He's got the term of a congressman.
Yeah.
Representative? What is that? I don't know. About six
that's
years.
That's a senator. Senator.
Yeah. Senator. So, yeah, Chris Bryant's got a Senate term in Colorado. All right, let's go to some kind of, I mean, it's a little bit of a White Sox discussion. We'll put a little bit of a White Sox discussion on this. I do want to give a shout out to our guy, Luke Stuckmeyer of CHGO Cubs, because they talked about the Hunter Renfro trade where the Brewers traded Hunter Renfro to the Angels for junk. And then Luke on the CHGO Cubs show said they should start a slogan, come see our junk, with a Brewers logo. So, hey, come see the Brewers junk. But what do you make of Hunter Renfro, and does this leave the door open for a Colton Wong trade?
Well, firstly, Hunter Renfro, I feel sad for him. Like, every single year, he gets traded. 2019, he was in San Diego for his last year, the fourth of his years in San Diego. Then he goes to Tampa for the shortened season. Luckily, only plays 40 games in Tampa. And, you know, goes to the World Series, I think, that year. Boston for 1 year in 2021. And then Milwaukee in 2022. And now he's on the Angels. He's doing a whole, like, West Coast, then East Coast, then back up north to the East Coast, then the Central, and then back out West. So I feel sorry for the guy. If he has family, goodness gracious, all this movement is ridiculous. Because he produces, like, he's an old-school slugger, like, maybe not in the Rob Deer mold, but in that same vein. He doesn't hit as many home runs, but about a 30 home run guy a year, and plays a solid enough right field, has a right fielder's arm to play right field. So I think it's a solid move for the Angels. I mean, if he stays healthy, which he has done for the most of his career, he will do and put up numbers out there in Anaheim and do well for that team and then get traded next year. So he's got to get traded back to the East. So somewhere on the East Coast, he'll be traded. Maybe a Brave next year if, Matt Olson gets hurt. Matt Olson, if Acuna gets hurt in right field.
Yeah, who's your daddy saying Renfro always seems on the move, like you were saying, pointing out that tracking pattern. But for a guy that's top 20 since 2017 in home runs, 153, more than Cody Bellinger, more than Jose Abreu, more than Anthony Rizzo, more than Rhys Hoskins, more than Trevor Story, Pete Alonso, Javier Baez, Rafael Devers. It's Hunter Renfro. So I don't know. It's a pretty shocking move there. I just never realized he was that powerful, or he had that much stuff. Because the OPS plus, it's not eye popping, but it's not bad. Since 2017, 110. He had kind of a down year in Tampa, of all places, but outside of that, he's been a real good player. So I like the Angels pick up there. And the funny thing is he looks like Mike Trout. You see all those pictures?
Yeah, somebody brought a KPW. The Angels now have Mike Trout and Mike Trout's stunt double.
Right. So that's what I'd like to see. They could put Joe Adell in left field. They could put – is Cole Calhoun still on the Angels? Or they could put Ohtani.
He's bad at being a Texas Ranger. He was one of the worst players in baseball last year, Cole Calhoun.
That's the big dog for you. He's my guy. So you put Ohtani in right, and then you could have Mike Trout be in center, but Hunter Renfro can just run out behind him and play actual defense. You know what I'm saying? And like when they cut to the camera, they just cut to him quick and just be like, oh, look, Mike Trout caught the ball, but it's actually Hunter Renfro. But he's just standing behind Trout each time, so Trout doesn't get hurt. And this way the Angels can win more games. Anyways, that's the pick of the week. That's what the Angels did. They got the DraftKings peak of the week. Hunter Renfro. Shout out to Hunter Renfro for being a new Angel. And again, if you want to sign up for DraftKings, use code CHGO when you sign up. Bet on any NFL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Pick of the week, if you're looking for an underdog, if you're looking for an upset this week in the NFL, I like the Jaguars at +160. The Jaguars can throw the ball. The Jaguars can move the ball. And the Ravens kind of have a weakness there, and they struggled a little bit with the Saints. They struggled even with the Panthers. I think the Jaguars, with a competent quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, they got some good running backs. Shout out to Stevens guy. What's his face from ISU? James Robinson.
James Robinson, my guy.
There you go. Shout out to James Robinson. I think the Jags can get it done. So if you want to test it out, new customer, sign up with code CHGO, bet $5 on any NFL money line and get $150 in free bets if your team wins. That's DraftKings pick of the week. And next up, always loving picking up Chi-Town Cornhole boards. We love the boards that we use at our tailgate, next tailgate on December 4th versus the Packers at 8:30 on Roosevelt, Michigan. Check out allchgo.com for more info. Diehards get 20% off. But Chi-Town Cornhole, if you come out to the tailgate, you can see the quality of these boards. They're the number one cornhole provider for Chicagoland and Illinois since 2007. Their signature box style design can be digitally printed, covered in vinyl, and painted, and their cornhole boards come in with built-in drink holders recessed in on the back, LED lights that light up the hole, and exterior handles for easy carrying. I was able to carry both boxes in my hand, and they're sturdy boxes, but the handles make it so easy to carry these very sturdy boxes. You'd think they probably weigh about 30 pounds. The handles make them very easy to carry around and store. And they also have handcrafted scorekeepers on the back. They're veteran-owned and operated, and they can ship anywhere and offer local pickups. So this holiday season, check out Chi-Town Cornhole for the tailgater, the BBQ barbecuer in your life, and go to their website, chitowncornhole.com, to place an order, and make sure to follow them on Instagram at Chi-Town Custom Cornhole Boards.
All right. And your guy, Cole Calhoun.
My guy.
Negative 1.5 war, B war. He was 196, 257, 330. You know what that makes him?
Worse than Leary Garcia.
Nope. Natural White Sox.
Hey, I would love it.
I mean, left-handed, a guy who can play right field. Oh, my God. Rick's already on the phone with his agency.
I got it. Your Charlotte Knight outfield. Cole Calhoun and Jason Hayward. Let's go. Come on, you got a gold glover and the big dog, Cole Calhoun. Also, Steven, you're going to pop up and give me a thumbs up for the James Robinson thing, but he's on the Jets? You're not going to tell me that he's on the Jets?
I'm marking the ad reads. I got to put time in there. I put him in the private chat. You got that one wrong. He's on the Jets now. They trade him to the Jets.
When did that happen?
Travis Etienne's still there. He's balling out right now. Melvin Gordon, right. Now a Jaguar, if you want to talk about a different running back.
Because that Breeze guy got hurt early in the season. Got hurt early in the season, so they had needed a person. And Travis Etienne was coming back this year fresh after his hurt in his rookie year. And so they're like, we want Etienne to get most of the rock and then get that garbage ISU garbage up to the
north. Hey, future Bear James Robinson. He's a free agent.
I hate seeing people get injured, but I traded Breece Hall to my dad in fantasy. And that the next week he got injured and I felt real good about it. Feel bad for Breece Hall, but felt good for my fantasy team. All right, let's go into the final little thing here, and it is on the FanGraphs zip projection. And the FanGraphs zip projection is usually a little bit down than what we are. It goes through every percentile of the White Sox season, right? If they have their 100th percentile season, if they hit their max, like in 2005, can they win 95 games and make it to the postseason? But they also go to the 0 percentile, right? If everyone's getting hurt again, what would their record be? And they simulate this thousands and thousands of times. Dan Szymborski, the senior writer over at FanGraphs, does these zips projections. So make sure to check out fangraphs.com and support their work too. If you're looking for something this holiday season to give some money to, that is not the screenshot I wanted. Okay.
That's fine. Timestamps is fine.
Timestamps are fine. We love timestamps. We love Mark Burley. Mercy. I tried to send it to Steven. And then Steven's computer was downloaded. So then we got to go to this one. But the Zips projection is projecting the Guardians to finish in first place, the Twins to finish in second place, and the White Sox to finish at 76 and 86. The Royals at 74 and 88, and the Tigers at 70 and 92. Guardians at 82 and 80, Twins at 81 and 81. Sox have a 14.7% chance to win the division right now. That's just shocking, no?
Not really, because they're doing it on the current roster, and as we've gone over many times, no production for Jose Abreu. Like, you don't have a right fielder, really. You don't have a second baseman, and the starting pitching thing is a mess right now with Davis Martin being penciled in as the fifth starter as we're starting the year right now. So it's not shocking that they have the number where it was, because last year I think they had the number at like 88 wins, and the White Sox ended up in 81 wins, so they're 7 off. They wouldn't even hit that. And I remember looking at those zip projections, like, White Sox had 88 wins after coming off a 90-plus win season the year before. Come on now, Zips, what are you doing out here? Actually, Zips was out here inflating the White Sox for the most part. And so I don't see it as a bad thing for the currently constituted team. No, I don't see the White Sox winning 80 games. I know they're going to change. I know they're going to get more players. And also, I think he made a good point in the article where he's saying this year you're getting less on fewer games versus the division opponents. So right. I think 12 versus each of your division opponents instead of the 19 you had before. So we all know that the AL Central is the weakest of the divisions mostly. And so now you're going to be playing the Yankees, the Astros, the Padres, the Dodgers. You're going to play every team in the major leagues now. And you won't be getting fed on supposedly the Kansas City Royals of the world. And the White Sox, like, what? Getting fed? That team's hard as hell. That's the best team in baseball right there. What are you guys talking about? But you won't be losing the season series 10-9 to the Kansas City Royals. It'll be more like 7-5 this year. So right. I think that factors into also the 76 wins that they have the White Sox down for 2023. I know moves need to be made, but I don't see it as an egregious thing that he put it 76 in, what, 83 or 86.
Yeah, and again, it's all the projections, and AJ's asking, is the trade machine running those projections too? But we look at the projections from 2022 and before the season in 2022, Zips had the White Sox winning 88 games. And I think most Sox fans looked like that at like, what the hell? Like, we all predicted them to win 90 when we used our human projections. And the Zips projection was off by 7 games. Unfortunately, it was 7 games the other way, and the White Sox didn't win 88 games. They only won 81. So, I don't know. I think it's definitely possible for the White Sox to win 76 games. If they have a bad offseason, it could be possible that they win 70 games. Like, it could be a real ugly season if things go really wrong for the Sox. Thankfully, not a lot of moves have been made yet, so we can't really be too, you know, why haven't they done X or Y or Z yet? But doesn't give me a lot of hope. And as Rusted says, I think right here, World Series contenders don't cancel fan festivals and cut payroll. This is White Sox baseball, kids. Been this way my entire life, aside from 2005 to 2008. Letting Burley go is letting Pito go, and letting Pito and Cueto leave with 7+ war. They haven't done it yet, and maybe Cueto is a guy that they end up bringing back because he has a connection to Grifol and he has a connection to Katz. So maybe Cueto's a guy that comes back as well because maybe he's a little bit more in their price range. But if they really go south, if they don't make those additions, and even if they play with more energy, I could see 76 being the truth because this team isn't extremely talented. And I think the general manager overrates their talent. He thinks that he's going to be able to make a trade, but you know, we saw that wasn't able to come to fruition at this trade deadline. So I wouldn't be really shocked if the White Sox won 76 games in 2023.
I would be shocked. I would be dismayed if they win only 76 games. I know I said that they're, you know, this is what they are, but also I go into every year saying, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Rusted is wrong. Rusted seems like a White Sox fan, like I'm a White Sox fan. You know, a realist, loves the team to death, is not going anywhere, but also like when spring happens and you're out there in Glendale, you're watching games, you're like, man, damn, Jose is good when not this year. Andrew's good. Damn it. Aloy's so damn good. So is Luis. Man, that pitching staff is pretty solid. And you talk yourself into, they can win this damn thing. And, you know, they're just as good as the Yankees, the Astros. And they start playing games like, son of a bitch, I'm Charlie Brown again. I'm fucking going for the thing. And the White Sox are Lucy. And the football is actual good playing.
Is Rick holding? Is Rick Lucy? Is Pedro Lucy? Is Southpaw Lucy? Is it Steve Stone? Who is Lucy?
I think it's the White Sox front office is Lucy.
So the two of them, Ken and Rick, are holding the ball.
Yeah, the football is competent organization, winning organization, and we're like, oh, we're running to it. Finally, we get to kick that through the uprights. Nah, snatch it every time.
Even then too, it's like they'll get lucky and they'll pull the ball away from you. But even when they both try to pull the ball away, it'll be like they both pull it at the same time. So then they end up just kicking. You just end up kicking their hands basically, and the ball goes nowhere. And nothing.
Or even worse, it's like when that happens, you kick it a little bit, and the other team is right there to take it, and they take it back for a touchdown.
It's like with Brett Favre's first pass, where he gets blocked at the line, but instead of coming back to Brett Favre, it's picked up by the linebacker and taken to the house. Anyways, that's going to be it for the CHGO White Sox podcast. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him on Twitter at @Ekstrom23. Thank you to Steven Nicholas for producing this show. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at @Sean_W_Anderson. We are very very, very thankful for everyone in the chat. Fred, Rusted, Who's Your Daddy, Al, our guy AJ, the other AJ, AJ Mithin as well, KPW. I know Canada already had their Thanksgiving, but I hope you guys have a good Thursday. Anyways, that's good to do.
I learned that from How I Met Your Mother. That they have Thanksgiving in October.
Let's go to the mall, eh? Anyways. Oh,
great song.
Happy
Colby Smulders.
Killing it. Robin Sparkles, right?
Yeah, there, exactly. There
you go. I still got it on the brain. Anyways, thank you very much for watching the CHGO White Sox podcast. We will talk to you on Friday. Janice will be joining us, and we'll have a Black Friday sale. So make sure you join us at 4 p.m. live here on the CHGO Sports YouTube channel. Enjoy your holiday. Go Sox.